Blog Talk Radio.
My God is real. He is real in my soul. My God is real. He has washed and made me whole. His love for me, it is like pure gold. My God is real, I can feel Him in my soul. My God is real, He's real in my soul. My God is real, I can feel He made me whole. His love for me, it is like pure gold. My God is real, I can feel Him in my soul. There are some things that I may not know. There are some places that I just can't go. But one thing for sure, my God is real. My God is real, I can feel Him in my soul. My God is real, He's real in my soul. My God is real, He has washed and made me whole. And His love for me, it is like pure gold. My God is real, I can feel Him in my soul.
Praise the Lord, everybody. This is Macedonian Call around the globe again with you this Friday night. And this is the day that the Lord has made. We will be glad and rejoice in it. Praise the Lord. We've got a lot of prayer requests coming in tonight that we'll turn those in as they come in. And we're just thankful to be here tonight with you one more time. Praise the Lord. We never know how long we've got to get this word out, to get Jesus Christ being our Savior. Tonight's message is subject is on mercy. And if you want to be part of this, I want you to call in at 347-989-8862. Praise the Lord. Again, it's 347-989-8862. 989-8862. And so far, some of the prayer requests. Tanya Green says, pray for her lost loved ones. Marie Harper says, please pray for her. She really needs it bad. Sister Debbie Seeley, she is our pastor's wife. She asked us to pray for Brother Merle and herself. They have an unspoken request. Praise the Lord. Also, Lodima Steichleather says, pray for peace in the world. Sister Patty Love says, I do thank God for touching my son on Sunday night. But now that my son has moved to Letchfield, Kentucky, he really needs prayer. And always keep my whole family in your prayers as well as my church family. Praise the Lord. She also this week turned in a prayer request for her mom. We saw Sister Graham is her mother's name, Sister Ethel Graham. On Wednesday night, she's having dizzy spells, so continue to remember her in prayer. Amanda Howard, she is a lady that I work with. She says, pray for her husband's friend and his family. So let's remember that. Brother John and Sister Janine Ward says, pray for Faith, that she has a total healing. Sister Diane Bueller down in New Orleans, she says, pray for her son, Louie. He is having some medical issues. He is going to undergo some genetic testing to see if he has Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. Please keep him in your prayers. She says, it's devastating to think that it may have been passed on to him. Sister Lynette Turner says, yes, unspoken prayer request regarding a matter on March the 6th. Praise the Lord. So let's remember all those, and as they come in, we will be turning in more prayer requests, and the callers that call in tonight and preaches with us, they also feel free to turn in your prayer requests as we go. Praise the Lord. So tonight, again, the subject is on mercy. If you want to be part of the broadcast, we want you to call in at 347-989-8862. At this time, we're going to have Rachel, our 10-year-old daughter. She's going to come in, and she's going to read you her scripture. Praise the Lord.
I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank God for you, Sister Rachel, and all that she does for the Lord. She's a good witness, I tell you. Up and down the street that we live on, she sure lets her light shine. Praise the Lord. 770, come in and tell us who you are, where you're located.
Praise the Lord, Brother Sister Green. This is Brother John from Thomason, Georgia.
Praise God, Brother John. Okay, we're going to get this next caller, too, to come in and tell us who they are and where they're located at 423.
Praise the Lord, Sister Green. This is Brother and Sister Yearwood down here in Madisonville, Tennessee, evangelist.
Praise God. We are in revival with Brother Yearwood and also Brother John Samples, Pastor John Samples. They're every night. Brother Yearwood, you want to announce that? We'll announce it again through the broadcast tonight, your revival. Go ahead, and if you don't mind, announce that.
Okay, well, everybody's welcome to join in and be a part of the revival. God's really blessing it, and I really feel the presence of the Lord on it. So everybody's welcome to join in on Blog Talk Radio, and Sister, I'll let you give the address there to them and everything, and the phone number is, well, let's see, I've done it and forgot it. Don't have it right here in front of me. But you just go ahead and give it to her. Everybody's invited to join in with us.
Praise God. That's it's blogtalkradio.com/ Reaching the World for Christ. And the phone number there is 310-342-1759. So that's 6 p.m. nightly through Tuesday night. And we sure appreciate you, Brother Yearwood. We appreciate Blog Talk Radio for this opportunity to be able to reach others, third world countries, all over the United States. And we just consider it an honor to be able to share God's word. Praise the Lord. Pastor John, why don't you go ahead and come in and obey the Lord and just do what you feel led to do, Brother John.
I appreciate that, Sister Joanna. Amen. Tonight we are speaking about mercy and the mercy of God. And amen. God began to deal with me. First of all, I've got one scripture out of Matthew chapter 5, out of the Beatitudes. It says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. So the Bible speaks of in Galatians. Amen. Galatians chapter 5 and 6, it talks about, amen, that whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And, amen, if we sow into the flesh, we sow into corruption. But if we sow into the Spirit, we reap life everlasting. So what God was speaking about, that what the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking about in the Beatitudes, amen, on the Sermon on the Mount, that if we wanted to have mercy, that we must give mercy, amen. There's a sowing and a reaping. There's a spiritual principle here. But you have your Bible somewhere with me to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, and starting with verse 9. And the Bible speaks of he had come to the area there. And verse 9, it says, and as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he saith unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. The Lord Jesus Christ had called him, amen, from his being a tax collector, amen, and called him to follow him and be obedient to him. And the Bible says that he rose and followed him. And verse 10, and it came to pass as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to the disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. You know, there are those that try to defame Christ, amen, as he sits and who he sits with, amen, and who he comes to. But just as he said, he began to declare unto them that those that are whole need not the physician. And the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, is the great physician tonight, amen. And he had come to make a house call, amen, that these people that he sent among, amen, they had a need of a healing. Tonight, if you have a need of a healing, and tonight, if you have a need of the mercy of God, you know, the Bible speaks of, amen, as they were coming and making the Ark of the Covenant and different things. It talks about the seat of mercy, amen, that the Lord sat on. There are times that he sits in the seat of judgment, and there's times that he sits in the seat of mercy. But I'm glad tonight, amen, that when we have a need of mercy, that we can obtain mercy tonight, amen. He said, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy. The Bible says in verse 13, but go ye and learn what that meaneth. In other words, go and learn what it means that those that are sick need a physician. Those that are whole, amen. Those that have come through with the sacrifice, amen. He said, well, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I'm not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. God had come. The Lord Jesus Christ had come from heaven to call those to come back to the Heavenly Father, to bring them back, amen, amen, and break down the middle wall of partition. Tonight we have the walls of salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a restorer, the breach, and a repairer, amen, a path to dwell in. Tonight he's leading us back unto his Father. As we turn, amen, our hearts around, and as we receive mercy, amen, they came, and amen, he didn't point, he didn't condemn. You know, the Bible says in Romans 8, verse 1, that there is now, therefore, there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Talking about the judgment, amen, amen, as the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, and the word was given, amen, to come forth, amen, that we need to know tonight that even as, amen, in John chapter 8, it speaks about a woman caught in the midst of adultery, and even though the Levitical law said that the man and the woman who were caught in the midst of adultery, she would come forth to be stoned here. The men had brought, amen, this woman caught in adultery, but it was the man who was caught with her, amen, was not brought forth, but only the woman, and they've come and they accused her, amen, and they actually had brought this woman who was caught in adultery before Jesus to try him, amen, and see, because they knew what the law had written, and amen, and as they come, amen, Jesus acted, amen, as he heard them, not heard them, and as he began, amen, he began to lean down, amen, begin to write in the sand. You know, the Bible speaks of, I believe it's in Isaiah, that the sins of Judah was written with a pen of iron, and as he began, amen, to write in the sand, as seemingly not hearing what they were saying, the accusations, amen, he rose up, and he said, he who is among you that is without sin, let him cast the first stone. Those of you that are here gathered, amen, that there's no sin in your life, cast the first stone of, amen, of guiltiness. They would cast lots at that time, and, amen, some of them they were colored different colors to represent either guilty or innocence, amen, and, amen, they would cast lots, much like our modern-day dice, amen. And it was some were made out of stone. It was called the Cephas stone, or the white stone, or the stone of innocency. We know that, amen, that one of these are one that, amen, that he said to them, is overcome when I give to you a name written in the white stone, and that no man would know it but him that receive it, amen. And amen, that he would give a new name. Tonight, amen, the physician's giving a new name, and he's writing prescriptions, amen. But you don't have to go to the pharmacist, because he has the remedy, amen. The remedy is the Word of God, amen. Amen. If you just take one book, the Word of God, amen, daily, hallelujah. If you take just a dose of it daily, amen, amen, you'll be made whole tonight. Amen, because you'll get a dose of mercy, because the Bible says, amen, if you want to obtain mercy, you have to give mercy. But he has given mercy, amen, and not sacrifice, amen, of what they had done. And the Bible says, let's go over to, Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14 and verse 3. And the Bible says, and being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box. Oh, let me finish the story about the woman of adultery. One by one, amen, they went away from the elder unto the youngest. Hallelujah. And the Lord Jesus Christ rose up and said, woman, where art thou, thy accusers? And she says, there is none, Lord. He said, neither do I accuse thee. Go and sin no more. She had obtained mercy on that day, knowing that, amen, being caught in the very act, she was sin. But the physician set her free from her sin. Just as, amen, the woman, amen, that had the issue of blood. Amen, that she had come, amen, and she had obtained mercy by her faith. She said within herself, if I but just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. At the time, amen, she had a need, amen. She had spent all that she had on other physicians, amen. They had done all they could, amen. They couldn't do no more. Amen, and we have a need of physicians, and we thank God for physicians, and we thank God for the medical personnel. We thank God for nurses and those that are in the medical profession. But tonight, amen, we thank God for the great physician, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when, amen, on that night, when the crowd was pressing, amen, amen, the Lord Jesus Christ, the hands upon the crowd, amen, among them, in that midst of that crowd, the woman who had been bleeding, amen, and had an issue of blood for 12 years. The life is in the blood, the Bible says, and amen, knowing that she was to a point of being weak. She had no more money to give. She had nothing to give but giving of her faith. There are some of you underneath the sound of my voice tonight that you've gone as far as you could go. You spent all that you had in your living, and you've tried to get out of your circumstances and situation, and there wasn't any better tonight. In fact, it was like her. She's worse. But I'm telling you tonight, by the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the Lord's passing by. In church, you don't want to be just the ones that has their hand on Jesus Christ. But you want to be one tonight that will touch the hem of the master's garment to obtain the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And out of that crowd, amen, hallelujah, he said, who touched me? Peter said, Lord, you see the crowd. Yes, that's true. The Lord's seen the crowd, but he was touched by one. Church tonight is not a part, amen, amen, to be a part of that social crowd that's hanging around, amen, with Jesus. You need to know that if you're just hanging around Jesus at the end of your days, at the end of the time, that might be the last time you hang out. You have to understand on that day that we have to make a choice, amen. The thief on the one side made a choice. He said to remember me when thou come into your kingdom. And the other on the other side said, oh, it's time for us to get out of here. Oh, hallelujah, it's time for us to come down off the cross. Hallelujah. But you know what? He wanted to get down just so he could be a thief one more time. Church, some of you want to get out of your situation to be a thief or to be a sinner or to be a murderer or be an adulterer. But you know what? God has come tonight, and he's coming and he's passing by. And today your salvation is nearer than you believe. It's just like Zacchaeus, a man who was a smaller stature. But he heard that Jesus was coming by, and tonight there are those of you that are listening to the sound of my voice, hearing that Jesus is passing by, and if you're so small, you need to position yourself like Zacchaeus. You need to position yourself like the woman that touched the hem of the master's garment. You need to position yourself to see the passing of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, amen, that Zacchaeus went up into the sycamore tree that he could see Jesus. All tonight, church, you need to say the salvation of the Lord. The Bible says, be still in Psalms and know that I am God. Tonight, know that he is God. And not only know that he is God, but he is your God, and you can obtain mercy from him. As he was passing by Zacchaeus, he called him down. He said, today, salvation has come to thy house, Zacchaeus. Come down and make haste, for thou art also a son of Abraham. Amen. It doesn't make a difference, your profession or your occupation tonight. If you're doing occupation, that's sin. You need to get out of that occupation. God will give you a new business. The Bible says in the book of Luke that Jesus was in the Father's business. And tonight we as believers need to be about the Father's business. Amen. And the Father's business is giving and obtaining mercy. Amen. And being touched, amen, by the Master. He said, who touched me? Amen. Amen. And again, like I said, Peter said, Lord, you see the crowd. Yeah, he saw the crowd, but somebody touched him in the crowd. Tonight, somebody's going to touch Jesus tonight. Somebody underneath the sound of my voice is going to touch his hem. Somebody's going to touch the hem of the high priest tonight. The Bible says, Hebrews, that we have a high priest who's been touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Somebody tonight is going to receive the grace of God. Somebody tonight who's been seeking for that thorn in their flesh to be gone away with because of the abundance of revelations in your life. Someone's going to receive the grace of God, and it's going to be sufficient tonight. Someone's going to sit before the mercy seat tonight and receive mercy. Amen. Someone's going to come before the Lord Jesus Christ tonight and obtain an outpouring of the mercy of God greater and mightier than ever before. Amen. Just like the woman who was caught in adultery. Just like the woman who had the issue of blood. Just like, amen, Matthew, who was sitting there, amen, amen, at the receipt of custom, just like him, they've been called to follow him. Church, tonight, you've been called to follow Jesus. Not only have you been called to follow Jesus, but amen, tonight, when you rise up from this meal, you take the fragments of the baskets that are left over, amen, from this meal, and you take it into all the world. You take it, amen, and tonight, amen, the Bible says, forsake not yourselves and assume yourselves together as the manner of some is. Some of you need to get into a Bible, not some of you, if you're not in a Bible preaching, Bible teaching, the true word of God, you need to get a part of that church. You need to be a part of that assembly. You need to subject yourself into the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And you need to go and you need to tell them, amen, and gather yourself in the name of Jesus Christ that you might receive mercy. I know some of you, it's hard. I know some of you are being persecuted. I know some of you are being incarcerated. Amen. If you believe. But I believe that there's a God, there's a refuge tonight. The Bible said the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it and is safe. There's a name, amen, that you can receive in that name of Jesus. He will protect you. He will be your refuge. He will be your rock. He'll be your horn, your high tower, your horn of salvation tonight. And the Bible says, going on here in Mark chapter 14, and being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she broke the box and poured it on his head. This alabaster box was sealed with within and without. It was one piece, very fine, sealed, and in that box was the spikenard oil, the anointing, representing of the anointing of the high priest, the anointing, amen. The Bible says in Isaiah 10:27 that in that day, amen, the Assyrians had come, amen, and there was a yoke upon the burden. It wasn't the yoke of Jesus Christ. Tonight you can make a decision to take on the yoke of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. When you take the yoke of Jesus Christ, you learn, amen, your yoke to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you begin to learn of him and of his ways as he leads you and guides you and instructs you and guides you with his eye. Amen. You begin to learn of the ways of the Heavenly Father. You begin to learn of the everlasting Father. You begin to learn of the child and the son. You begin to learn of the counselor and the prince of peace. You begin to learn the attributes and the characteristics, and you begin to learn about this hallowed name, all the hallowed names of the Lord Jesus Christ. And amen, as they come, amen. He said, for my burden is light and my, or excuse me, my yoke is light and my burden is easy, or one way or another. I'm not saying that all right the right way, but anyhow, it's in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. When you get a chance, those of you that have Bibles, turn to there and read that and study it and show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But the Bible says, and there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? You know, how can you imagine here the Lord Jesus Christ was a guest in this man's house? And she came, and it was very precious, the spikenard oil, amen, represented the anointing. And going back there, I didn't finish that in Isaiah 10:27. The Assyrian, amen, the yoke, but he says, and the anointing, amen, will destroy the yoke. It destroys it, completely crushes it. Tonight, the anointing will completely crush your disease, your sickness, your cancer, your issue of blood, your affliction. You need to know tonight, those of you that have affliction, the power of Christ is resting upon you. As you seek, his grace and mercy will settle upon you. Amen. That you glory in this. Amen. When you are afflicted, when you are sick, when you are in distress, infirmities. Amen. We have an advocate tonight, Jesus Christ the righteous, who's sitting at the right hand of the Father. The Bible says we have him, he says that his, excuse me, at his right hand is pleasures evermore. That's what it says in Psalm 16:11. In his presence is the fullness of joy. You want the fullness of joy? Just get in his presence. Get before the Lord Jesus Christ. Mary and Martha, amen, sisters, amen, of Lazarus. Mary chose the good part, the Bible says. Martha was a server, amen. She had a heart to serve, amen, amen. And she even asked the Lord to have Mary come and help her. But he told her, he said, Mary chose the good part. And when we sit at the feet of Jesus, we begin to learn him. Have you sat at the feet of Jesus? You know, underneath his feet, amen, there's healing. Underneath his feet is every enemy, amen, that's brought underneath his feet, amen. If you look at his heel, it's been bruised because he's bruised, amen, the very head of the enemy tonight. Hallelujah. And every one of the enemies, amen, amen, will be put underneath his feet. And the last enemy that he shall put underneath his feet is death tonight, church. He's already put, amen, everything shall be subject, and I'll hand it back to the Father. He's done the works, and he's finished the works. Tonight you can enter into a finished work that's already been done. You can enter into a house that's already been thoroughly furnished. It's the house of the Lord, amen. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. We can enter into his courts with thanksgiving and into his gates with praise tonight. Amen. The Bible says, amen, in Isaiah, that his gates, amen, are praise. It said his walls are salvation. I believe it's in Isaiah 16:19. It talks about, amen, that the walls are salvation and the gates praise. Church, the Bible says in Psalms 22:3, O Holy One of Israel, thou inhabitest the praises of Israel. That means the word praise there means to celebrate. Have you celebrated Jesus? Have you celebrated the Father? Amen. Have you celebrated his glory? Have you celebrated him coming into your life? Have you bent forth, amen, a celebration and told him that you're glad that he's in your life and living down on the inside of you? But there were some there that they said this was a waste, pouring out this ointment on the body of Christ. Amen. And there would be some, amen, that would say there's a waste. Amen, to do anything to the body of Christ. Amen, hallelujah. This is what the women did. This was what their ministry. They had come, amen, and hallelujah, because this woman here, she had an insight before he was to die, before he was to be buried, because there would be a time, amen, when the women would have a desire to anoint his body, the body of Christ. but there would be a stone, amen. But, amen, by the time they got there, you have to understand that they had came, amen, they wondered among themselves who would roll the stone away. Oh, church tonight, some of you underneath the sound of my voice, you've already wondered how the stone can be rolled away that you can get to Jesus. Let me tell you something. The Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father, has already sent an earthquake and has already rolled the stone away. The stone, amen, has been rolled away that you can have access, amen, to the body of Christ. But it's not a body that's laying in a tomb. It's a body, amen, that's come to the from the virgin womb tonight. Amen. And ever interceding for you. He's a resurrected Christ. He's a glorified Christ. Hallelujah. He's high and lifted up. His train filled the temple. The Bible says in Isaiah 6:1. How many of you have seen his glory? Tonight he wants to show you his glory. There's a place by him. The Bible says in Exodus 33. Amen. As Moses, he put him in the cleft of the rock. Amen. And when he put him in the cleft of the rock, he brought before him his hinder parts. Amen. And Moses had obtained mercy. Amen. The mercy of God. Amen. When he comes. And tonight, if you want to obtain mercy, the Bible says, so within his indignation there, and in Mark 14, verse 5 says, for it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and had been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. Oh, the Bible says in Philippians, do all things without murmuring and disputing. They murmured against her. You shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have poured that precious oil out on this one called Jesus. It could have been sold. Oh, church, it could have been sold. But church tonight, I want to ask you something. Are you sold out for Jesus? Are you sold out for Jesus? Are you holding on to a precious ointment? You need to know something. He was the anointed one. He was the alabaster box. He was the precious ointment. Hallelujah. He was the Messiah. He's your Messiah tonight. And that anointing keeps on blowing. Hallelujah. Tonight, he pours it out on you. And when the women got there, amen, God the Father had already rolled the stone away. But you know what? Don't search for the body of Christ in tombs tonight. Don't search for the body of Christ in graves tonight. Don't search for the body of Christ in hell tonight. Don't search for the body of Christ in the places of death tonight. But you need to search for the Lord Jesus Christ. Those of you have been searching in places of death. Some of you have been doing necromancy. Some of you have been going out and doing things with bones in the graveyard and cemetery. You need to stop that right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your voodoo, your witchcraft, I rebuke that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and your hatred and grace. I command and bless this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, bless this Pope, for there is only one, and amen. He's a God of the living and not a God of the dead. And I bind it that right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I saw that work of darkness, and I bind it now in Jesus' name. You need to come out of your darkness into the marvelous light. Some of you that are in witchcraft. Some of you that are doctors. Some of you that, amen, that are of other religions and other culties. You need to come out of that and be released right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Right now, you need to obtain the mercy of Lord Jesus Christ. You need to know that, amen, that God will have mercy. Amen, and not sacrifice. You need to know, amen, you need to get out of that darkness and out of that pit right now and come into the marvelous light. He has called you as chosen generation, a royal priesthood. If you want to be a priest, God will make you kings and priests unto God the Father tonight, amen. Hallelujah. It's not about flattering titles, amen, but it's about being a child of the living God tonight, amen. He'll bring you and he'll promote you, amen. He'll lift you up if you'll humble yourself tonight to obtain his mercy. And the Bible says, and Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? Verse 6. She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always. And whensoever you will, you may do them good. But me, ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the bearing. You see? The women, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Joseph, they had come to anoint the body of Christ, to preserve the body of Christ. But church, he's already been preserved. Someone already poured out the anointing upon him. Someone who took the precious box. Someone broke the most precious thing in their life. Oh, church, tonight, you want to be put together? before you can, your life can be brought together. There are those of you who need to sound my voice. You want your life to come together. You want your life and your house to come together. Guess what? The first thing that's got to be done, it's got to be broken. The alabaster box had to be broken before the Roman's life could be put together. Hallelujah. That which is precious, the most precious thing. You have to understand, amen, in Genesis chapter 22, when Abraham was taking his son of promise up that hill, he loved Isaac. He didn't want to kill him. He didn't want to slay him. He didn't want to bind him. He didn't want to take him there, but he was being obedient to God. And as he came, he went through all that process. Amen. Tonight, amen, speaking prophetically to you, at the place of your sacrifice will be the place of your provision tonight, church. Amen. When he called back and even held back his hand at the very moment, God the Father said, and now I know that you've not withheld your only son. And he said, look up, and he looked up, and behold, there was a ram in the bush. Church, tonight, there's a ram in the bush for you, and his name is Jesus. Amen, and he's taking the place. He's taking your place. You don't have to be sacrificed. He's taking your place that you can be a living sacrifice. Amen. He's taking your place. You've obtained mercy. Isaac obtained mercy from God on that hill in Mount Moriah when the Lord Jesus Christ, and years later, the Lord Jesus Christ would take the place not only of Isaac, not only of Jacob, not only of Abraham, but every one of you underneath the sound boy. He took my place. He took your place. Hallelujah. He didn't have to, but he did. He chose to lay down his life, amen, tonight, that you might obtain the mercies of God. Hallelujah. He said, verily I say to you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. You know what that? This is the Macedonian call going around all the world. And you know what? What she done on that many, many years ago is still being spoken of. It's still a memorial. It's a living memorial to this woman that she, her life, her precious thing had to be broken before her life could be put back together. The things that are in your life had to be broken before the things can be put back together. And the last scripture I'm going to use is in Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16 and in verse 19. The Bible says there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, fared sumptuously every day. In other words, he had fine clothing. Everything was going right. Everything was sunshiny. No rain. No, not need of anything financially. Everything was going just right. And the Bible says that there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores. Here was a man who seemingly had nothing. Here was a man who was a beggar. Here was a man who was at the gate of the rich man, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dog came and licked his sores. I'm reminded of the story of the Syrophoenician woman who came to the Lord Jesus Christ seeking that her daughter, who was vexed with the devil, might be made whole. And she came to the Lord Jesus Christ being a woman of Syrophoenicia, and asked the Lord that he would heal her daughter of this devil. And the Lord Jesus Christ's answer was to her, it's not meet for to give the children's bread to the dogs. In other words, they were another ethnic, amen, and they were considered dogs. And he that was not a Jew at that time was called dogs. Hallelujah. And we find, amen, at that time that their faith, it caused her to obtain mercy. She said, yea, Lord, but even the dogs get the crumbs from their master's table. Oh, tonight, church, what was she saying? She was saying, Lord, I might be a dog, but you're my master, and I'll just take the crumbs from your table. And when she declared that he was his master, he said, daughter, thy faith. Earlier tonight on our other broadcast, we spoke about this is the victory. The victory was her faith, and that it caused her to obtain mercy, and her daughter was made whole and delivered of the devil. All across this land tonight, there are people that are bound by spirits, but right now in the name of Jesus Christ, they've been set free by the power of God. They're being set free right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ all across all across America, all across this world, all across this globe right now, being set free in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Obtaining mercy right now, right now, right now. There are Lazaruses all over, there are beggars all over this world that are laying at the gate of the rich man. But right now, they're being delivered by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right now, right now, right now. And they're receiving crumbs not from the rich man. They're receiving crumbs from the Master, the only Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know what? These crumbs are going to be turned into whole loaves. These crumbs are going to be turned into the bread of life. And the Bible says, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover the dog came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Remember where I said that with? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Here was a man who never gave mercy in his life, but when he got at the end of his life, wanted to obtain mercy. Church, don't get at the end of your life and rise up in your eyes, amen, and mercy be afar off. Don't let mercy be one step away from you tonight. You need to obtain mercy now. You need to get it now. Don't wait for tomorrow. Don't wait for a mercy sale. Don't wait for a markdown of mercy tonight. It will not come. God has already has a plan. He's already put it forth. Tonight, don't say, well, I can say tomorrow, because you know what? You don't know what a day may bring forth. Tonight, we're not promised tomorrow. You might not obtain that mercy tomorrow. You might need it tonight. It's not that you might need it. You do need his mercy tonight. And the Bible says, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, son, remember that thou in this thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. Final separation, so that they that would pass from thence to you cannot. Neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. In other words, there's a gulf between there, the place that rich man was, and the place where Lazarus was. Because you know what? There would have been. I believe Lazarus would have went and done that, but it's a fixed gulf. He'd come to a place. Why? There's a spiritual principle here. He would never obtain mercy in the afterlife because he never gave mercy in this life. Church, you want to obtain mercy in the afterlife, but there'll be a resurrection. The Bible says, to him that overcome, amen, we shall not be hurt in the second death. Those that are part of the first resurrection, the resurrection of life, will not be hurt by the second death. But those, amen, that are unbelievers, the Bible says anything but death is a sin tonight, for anything but doubt is drinks of damnation. Tonight, there's a resurrection of damnation. You don't have to be a part of that. And the Bible says this. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went to them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Moses spoke of, talked about the mercy seat, talking about obtaining mercy, talking about the tabernacle, talking about the thing. The prophets spoke of mercy all throughout there tonight. He will have mercy and not sacrifice. Will you obtain it tonight? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Tonight, will you go home tonight? Will you lay down in your bed tonight? Or wherever you rise up, will you go to work today? Because I know it's different hours. Will you go through the day with the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ? It's available for you tonight if you'll just receive it. Go ahead, Brother and Sister Green.
Praise the Lord. Enjoyed that word, Pastor John, and Brother John, if he's talking to you, you need to get that mercy. And ask Jesus, repent of your sins, and ask Jesus to come into your heart. I tell you, today is the day of salvation, and Brother John's telling you the truth. If you're doing things out there that's displeasing to God, if you're messing with witchcraft and those kind of things, and you know, we hear on the news lately that some woman was doing things for a 19-year-old woman, was doing things as rituals or whatever. She and I think she had an accomplice, and she was killing people, and I guess she stopped counting at 22. The news says that she was doing this for satanic rituals. And if you're in that kind of a mess, you better get out. You better get out while the mercy is still flowing. Praise the Lord, because someday there's going to be judgment with no mercy at all. Once the door is shut, you don't have another chance. That is it. Once you go to the grave, you're already judged already. How a tree falleth, so shall it lay. So you better get right with God now while you can. And, Brother Yearwood, we had another caller call in. It looks like they hung up, but maybe they'll call back. But, Brother Yearwood, we want you to just take your time and you come in and obey the Lord. If you want to be part of this broadcast, it's 347-989-8862, and we tell you these things because we love you. That is why we do these broadcasts, to tell you that there is a way out of your mess, and that's Jesus. And that's the only name on heaven and earth that we know, that there's no other name but by Jesus Christ can you be saved. He is the door. He is the truth, the way, and the life. Praise God. Go ahead, Brother Yearwood.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that, Sister Green. We've got Brother Randy Richardson. He's the one called in up there, and he's going to call somebody else and call back in to you there. He's wanting to sing a song or two there for you.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
And his sister's
going to
call, but she's
going to
talk.
His sister's going to call in, too, and she's not wanting to talk, though. So
okay.
Praise the Lord.
Okay.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
Just go ahead then and obey the Lord to do whatever you want to do there until they get done singing. Then I'll come in and obey the Lord after that, if it's okay.
Yeah, they're not with us anymore, Brother Yearwood. Maybe they'll call back in.
Okay. Well, they're going to call back in. He just now called us and wanting to know what would he need to do for the hearing there. You got your Bibles. We're speaking about mercy tonight. So I want to look at one verse in Psalms 23 in verse 6, it says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." You know, as long as we've got surely goodness and mercy following us all the days of our life, you know, we ain't got no problems, because God's going to take care of us. And I've got another place I want you to turn to, Psalms 136, and there's 26 verses of that 136, and I want you to look at that every single verse has the word mercy in it, each verse, 26 times that has got in it. So, you know, God is trying to tell us tonight that mercy will endure forever with us. And, you know, praise God, if we'll just turn our lives over to him, there ain't no way that we can go wrong, because we're going to have mercy with us, and God's going to be with us. Praise the Lord. And I'm going to read here in Psalms 136, and verse 1, it says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. You know, praise God, that is something to think about. His mercy endureth forever. You know, it don't matter what kind of a problem may be coming up our way, we got the mercy of God with us. And let's look into verse 2. And it says, "Oh, give thanks unto the God of God, of gods, for his mercy." See, mercy again. "Endureth forever." Praise God. Hallelujah. Then in verse 3, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord for his mercy endureth forever." You know, praise God, each one of them verses have got at least one time a mercy in it. And you know, praise God, I tell you, God so loved us so much that he would think about every single verse that he would have the word mercy mentioned in it one time. I tell you, God is so good to us tonight, praise the Lord, that he's wanting us to understand, that he wants us to repent. He wants us to come to him and cry out to him. And his mercy will, hallelujah, like over there in back there in verse 1, there in 136, it says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." Praise God. I tell you, it don't matter which way we go today. It don't matter which things happen. His mercy is there for us. And it's there, praise God, for us. Hallelujah. I tell you, I just praise God for it. I just wanted to kind of lay a little bit of foundation right there. I want to let Betty do some reading here for me. Praise God.
Verse 4, "To him who alone doeth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that made great light, for his mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, and his mercy endureth, for his mercy endureth forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that smote Egypt and their firstborn, for his mercy endureth forever. And brought out Israel from among them, his mercy endureth forever. With a strong hand and with a stretched out arm, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which divideth the Red Sea into parts, for his mercy endureth forever. And made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endureth forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which smote great kings, for his mercy endureth forever. And slew famous kings, for his mercy endureth forever. Sion, king of the Amorites, for his mercy endureth forever. And Og, the king of Bashan, for his mercy endureth forever. And gave their land for an heritage, for his mercy endureth forever. Even an heritage into Israel, his servant, for his mercy endureth forever. Who remembered us in our low estate, for his mercy endureth forever. And hath redeemed us from our enemies, for his mercy endureth forever. Who giveth food to all flesh, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever."
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that. You know, now I want to go back just one time here to Psalms 23 and verse 6. It says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, that's David talking there. Praise God. And, you know, I just thank God that he thought enough of us that he wanted to put mercy. That's 27 times mercy is mentioned right there in the scriptures that we've read tonight. And I just praise God for it. So I'd like to say that we are having a revival on Blog Talk Radio here each night, and we praise God for it. We, Brother John was saying there a while ago, I believe too, and you know the scripture says many two on earth are touching and agreed on any one thing, whatsoever he asks, it shall be done. So I know that there's Brother John, his wife, myself, and Betty, and Brother and Sister Green, and others that's been on here ministering with us during this revival, all coming to agreement. And I know God's hearing, I know he's answering prayers, and I believe that there's people all around the world have been touched. I believe these people have been saved. I believe there's been people sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. I believe these people have had their needs met. And matter of fact, we got a praise report where there was one did get a need met, said they got favor with the bank account. And so, you know, thank God it only cost them $10 more on the month than their or what they were paying, you know, and got their favor. You know, and I thank God that God does hear and he does have mercy and he does answer. And, you know, I praise God for that. And I know God made met our needs and he's made the way for us. And Sister Debbie, I keep bringing her up because she's a wonderful Christian woman down in Dalton, Georgia. She's a great singer, her and her husband. And they've she's been on life support our last week, but God brought her out and got her up. And she's a-talking and eating and everything. She had a massive heart attack last week, Monday. So God had mercy on her, and he brought her out. And, you know, praise God, he's still reaching down. He's still having mercy on us today. You know, it wasn't just for these people here that was written in the Word of God. It's for you and I today. We should be in the Word, and if we're in the Word, then we're going to have mercy and goodness and all of them blessings are going to be upon us just because we're servant of the Most High. We join ours with Christ Jesus. And, you know, praise God, God's not going to let nothing happen to Jesus, and he's not going to let nothing happen to us because he's going to have mercy. I believe I heard her read there a while ago about the mercy that he had upon us and delivered them from their enemies. I believe verse 24 right there, it says, and have it came, let's see, praise the Lord,
redeemed
us from our enemy for his mercy endureth forever. You know, praise God, if God will do that for them, he'll do that for you and I. We've got to, you know, a lot of times we don't want to think about it, but we've got to put ourselves in the Word of God if we ever want to get anything from God. We've got to put ourselves in the Word. We've got to be as they were. We've got to live a life like they lived if we want to please God and if we want to make heaven our home. I'm going to try my best to serve the Lord with all of my heart, with all of my mind, and with all of my strength. I'm going to try my best to hear him say, well done. Lord, you come on in and dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And surely in goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I praise God for it. And I praise God for this broadcast tonight, and I thank you, Brother and Sister Green, for giving us an opportunity to come on and try to point out something to somebody. Maybe somebody didn't notice that before. Maybe they never had looked at it before. But there in Psalms 136 and 26 verses, 26 times the word mercy is in it. And I praise God for that. And God thought enough of us that he put it in there and let us see it. So praise the Lord. I'll just back up and let you have it there, Sister Green.
Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. That's what I have to say is amen. Hallelujah. We've got another caller here, 740 area code. I want you to come in, tell us who you are and where you're located.
Yes, my name's Randy Richardson, and I'm from Chillicothe, Ohio. And I was wanting to sing two or three songs, if that's all right. And I want you all to keep the Richardson family in your prayers.
Amen, Brother Randy. You go right ahead. Praise the Lord.
Okay. Okay, I'm going to play the soundtrack. I don't know if it'll be too loud or...
No, you'll be fine.
Just listen to the words.
Okay.
I saw that number one would surely be me. I thought I would be what I wanted to be. I thought I could live on life's sinking sand, but I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I thought that I could do a lot on my own. I thought I could make it all alone. I thought of myself as that mighty big man, but I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountain is too high, and the valley is too wide. Down on my knees, I learned to stand, because I can't even walk without you holding my hand.
Praise the Lord.
I'm going to try to sing another one. It's all right.
Praise the Lord. Go right ahead, Brother Randy.
Praise the Lord.
Glad to have you in here tonight. We've been missing you guys down there in Chillicothe.
Just listen to the words, the beautiful song. Lord, him again. Down on my knees in prayer. And Lord, I know you promised me you always meet me there. Now there's a mountain up ahead that I can't seem to climb. So Lord, I am asking for the strength to try it one more time. Lord, don't move that mountain. Just give me the strength to climb. If you shall move each mountain, Lord, I might grow weaker every time. Just as your son Jesus took that cross of Calvary's hill, Lord, don't move that mountain, that I will always walk with you. This is my favorite part. Now if there were no mountains, Lord, I might forget to pray. And if there were no trials, Lord, I might even stray. But I know the higher the mountains, the sweeter the victory. So Lord, ever remind me that you will always walk with me. Lord, don't move that mountain. Just give me the strength to climb. If you shall move each mountain, Lord, I might grow weaker every time. Just as your son Jesus took that cross up Calvary's hill, Lord, don't move that mountain, that I may better do your will. Lord, don't move that mountain, that I may better do your will. Do your will. Got one more, if it's all right, Sister Grace.
Praise the Lord. Yes, sir. That'd be great.
Hey, Sister Green.
Yes.
Before he hangs up and gets off, Myra, let him give us the testimony about what God done for him, about his heart, and about that spot that they found, I think it said on his brain or something other.
Yep.
Amen.
That was on my brain. And, okay, let me find that. Wake up the master. This is a good song. It's you probably have heard it before. It's Wake Up the Master. I just learned this song, and it, I enjoy singing it because it blesses my heart when I sing it. So just listen to the words. This is for you, Sue. Ship was tossed cause the sea was right, the waves were rolling high. Peter and John were searching for a way that they would live and not die. Then they remembered that the one who had led them was laying in the ship fast asleep. Then they said, let's tell Jesus, the winds are blowing. I know the master can speak. It's time to wake up the master. The ship's going down. The waves are churning, turning my life upside down. It's time to wake up the master. He's got the words that I need. When the spirit moves in, he wakes the master in me. The ship was tossed, cause the sea was rife. The waves were rolling high. Peter and John were searching for a way that they would live and not die. Then they remembered that the one who had led them was laying in the ship fast asleep. Then they said, let's tell Jesus, the winds are blowing. I know the master can speak. It's time to wake up the master. The ship's going down. The way churning, turning my life upside down. It's time to wake up the master. He's got the words that I need. When the spirit moves in, he wakes the master in me. When the spirit moves in, it wakes the master in me. The master in me. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
You know, I love to sing. And I just thank God for saving my soul. And like Brother Yearwood said, he's done a lot for me. The Lord has. About I've been having trouble with my heart for the last 2 or 3 years, and I've had open heart surgery. And when I had open heart surgery, I was in the intensive care, and they come in, and the time I had to get ready to leave out of there, they brought a wheelchair, and they was going to put me in a wheelchair and take me to my room for the last couple of days I was going to be there. So they brought the wheelchair, and I got out of the bed. I was done already up walking around in intensive care. So I took in, they brought the wheelchair, and they want me to sit in the wheelchair. I said, well, it would be all right if I could walk. They said, are you sure? I said, yeah, I feel pretty good. So I walked up through there pushing that wheelchair, and all the nurses and doctors was looking, and they was amazed, you know, what you know, but they didn't know but what the Lord had done for me. But
amen.
I just want to thank God for, you know, everything he's done for me. And about a couple weeks ago, I took and had to go to the heart doctor and everything. Passing out and everything, and then they had ran dye through my groin up to my brain, and they seen that I had 100% blockage in the back of my neck, the two arteries going up the back of my neck, and then the arteries going up the side of my neck, my carotid arteries, they was, I think, like 89% blocked, and the other from what side was 70% blocked. And then I had a blockage in my brain, and I had people praying for me, Brother Sister Green, Brother Yearwood, and all of them, and, you know, just hundreds of people. They put me on their prayer, Miracle Valley prayer line, and I went to the heart doctors probably about a week or so ago, and they did the test and everything, and they said all of the arteries in my neck is barely clogged, in my carotid arteries. It's just got a little blockage, and then the arteries in my neck and my brain, they said they was all gone, and the two in the back of my neck, they said there's still some blockages in there. But, you know, God could do anything, and I just want to thank God, and I thank God for Brother Yearwood and, you know, having me to come on here. And I just want to thank God and tell God I love him, and everybody out there, just keep me in your all's prayer. My name is Randy Richardson, and I love you guys.
Praise God, Brother Randy. We sure appreciate you calling in like that. We want you to call in every Friday night at 10 p.m. That you can, and just we enjoy that singing, and that's what this is all about, God having mercy. And, you know, Brother Randy's been serving the Lord for a long time, and God had mercy on him. Praise the Lord. That's the benefit of serving God.
Yeah.
And that's what we want to share with you tonight. Brother Randy, you sang those songs, and they heard you all across the world, praise the Lord. So your part, praise the Lord, in this here ministry has gone out and gone forth. We may never see who has been reached, and we may never see on this side of the world, of this side of life, who has gotten saved. But it doesn't matter as long as they got saved. That's what's important to us tonight, praise God. And you're welcome. Come on here anytime that you want to, brother. We love you and Sister Betsy, and tell her hello for us. Does she sing?
No, she don't sing.
Oh, okay. Is she right there by your side?
I'm actually down here at the church practicing singing, and
she's
at the house.
Sometime bring her with you and have her testify. That'd be awesome. That'd be wonderful. Well, or Brother Millett, or any of them, Brother Mike, he can sing as well. All of y'all just join in here and help us out. That we sure appreciate that.
Well, okay, I'll try to get Melinda and them down here and maybe call you next time and have Melinda and them help sing, and you know, we'll just have church.
Amen. That's what Pastor John down there in Georgia did on Wednesday night. Brother Yearwood has been...
Hello?
That would be wonderful. We're still here.
Okay. I love to sing, and I want to give God all the glory for it, and I just... My heart goes out to the people, you know, that are lost, and I pray that maybe they heard me singing and, you know, gave their lives to the Lord, and, you know, but that, like you say, that's what it's all about, getting people saved and you know, blessing people, but I just want to thank God for y'all, and I'll go ahead and let you all go so you have some other people on there, and I'll talk to you all later, and we love you guys.
Praise the Lord. We love you guys, too, and stay on here with us if you want to.
Okay.
Praise
God. Tell Brother Green I said hi.
Amen. I sure will. He said hi. He heard you. If you want to be part of this broadcast, we encourage you to call in at 347-989-8862, and tonight's subject is on mercy. Praise the Lord. And, you know, I was thinking about in Matthew chapter 5, Pastor John, he covered that really well, and so did Brother Yearwood. And we just thank God for the callers tonight. And blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Hallelujah. And I was thinking here, the scriptures come to me in Matthew 18. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servant. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me. I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him of the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him, and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet, and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when the fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that he was due unto him. So likewise shall the heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Praise God. I was thinking here how the king had compassion. He had mercy, and he forgave. Praise the Lord. Like we read to you in the beginning, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. So that servant found favor with the king. But when someone owed him, he turned around and he put that person in torment until all that was paid. And the king was wroth. He was really mad. Praise the Lord. You know, we need to remember this right here. When we need to forgive one another, Peter asked Jesus, how many times shall I forgive? Seven times? And Jesus says, no, I say unto thee, 70 times seven. Praise the Lord. And you know, maybe that person didn't do 70 things to you to upset you, but maybe one thing keeps ailing you over and over again. Maybe something just about that person, maybe they done something to you years ago, and that just the devil will keep refreshing that over and over in your mind. And when that person comes around, and you just remember what they did. And you know, so Jesus said, forgive 70 times seven. Praise the Lord. It could be over the same incident. Praise the Lord. And it may be 70 things that they had done to you, but God said to forgive them. For if you, praise the Lord, if you, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Praise God. So remember that. You need to forgive. I tell you, forgiving is a powerful, powerful thing. The Bible says to comfort the feeble-minded. Remember, sometimes the person that you have to forgive, if they irritate you in any way, maybe something's wrong. God maybe needs to heal that person in their mind mentally. Praise the Lord, but we have to comfort the feeble-minded and consider the source and see what reason. Give your brother, the sister, the benefit of the doubt. see where they're coming from. Praise the Lord. Try to walk in their shoes a little bit, or imagine yourself walking in their shoes. What would you do if you were them? Praise the Lord. In Psalms 37:21, it says, "The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth." Praise the Lord. Romans 6 talks about, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." Praise the Lord. So there's the wages here. God had mercy on the cross for us. When he stretched out his hands and hung on the cross, praise the Lord, between heaven and earth, and he was lifted up, praise the Lord, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, and Jesus was lifted up. He was having mercy on you and I, praise God. And you know, he paid a price that he didn't even owe because he had no sin, but he paid that price. He had mercy for you and I. We could never repay him, praise the Lord, for what he's done, but one thing for sure, we are to offer our body as a living sacrifice, which is our reasonable service, holy and acceptable unto God. Hallelujah. Romans 9 talks about, what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, "I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Praise the Lord. So we have to remember that when the woman, Brother John brought this up too, about the woman being caught in a very act of adultery, and the people were taken, they want to catch Jesus at his words. They was trying to find fault with our Savior. And they knew what the law said, that if she was caught in an act of adultery, she was to be stoned. And they wanted to see, now what's Jesus going to do about this? Praise God. And so Jesus, like Brother John said, he knelt down and he started to, as he said, to he without sin to cast the first stone. And I thought about this not too long ago. Jesus knelt down in the sand and he began to write with his finger in the sand. And I thought about how when he told Jacob, Isaac, and Abraham, Abraham was given the promise. God had promised him, praise the Lord, the promised land, and many as the sand of the sea, praise the Lord, and the dust on the earth, and many from Jacob's ladder, many from the east, the west, the north, and the south. And it stuck out to me about the part about the sand, as many as the sand of the sea. And that's how much that his seed and his seed's seed would be blessed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I was thinking how, at that time, I was thinking how, you know, if I could be, they say, like a fly on the wall or whatever, watching, and if I see Jesus, you know, I can imagine him kneeling down and taking his finger and writing in the sand. And I thought, Jesus could have went to every one of them that had maybe a stone in their hand ready to stone the woman. And he could have went to every single one of them and told them their faults. Because God, that he, on his father's side, he's Emmanuel. On his mother's side, praise the Lord, he's Jesus. So he, on his father's side, being God, he could have went to each and every one of them and he could have pointed his finger and said, "You did this," and went to the next one, "And you did this. And I remember you doing this." And you know, when the scripture comes to me, what is covered shall not stay covered. It won't be hid. This is paraphrasing it. It won't be covered up very long because God will reveal it. Praise the Lord. So Jesus could have went to every single one of them and said, "You know, you did this and you can't hide. I saw you when you did this here." But Jesus didn't. He held his peace. He knelt down in the sand and he began to write. And I was thinking about how only Jesus, praise God, the Bible talks about, I believe in Matthew somewhere, how the Lord's going to send an angel with a sickle, and he's going to separate the wheat, praise the Lord, from the chaff, and he's going to bind up the wicked, praise the Lord, and he's going to throw them in that place where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. There's a day coming like that. And you know, but it wasn't time for that at that moment. So So Jesus, he's the only one that can kneel down in the sand and separate each little grain. He knows the hair that's on your, the number of hair that's on your head, and he's able to count the grains of sand that he was kneeling down and writing in the sand. He's able to separate, praise the Lord. If each grain of sand represented a person, he is the only one, he's God, that he was able to separate the goat from the sheep, praise the Lord, so to speak, the wheat from the tare, hallelujah. But it wasn't time to do that yet. So he was just doodling in the sand. But one of these days, there's going to be a judgment without mercy. And today it's with mercy, thank God, because he has not come back yet. But once the bridegroom comes back for the church, praise the Lord, you know, it's going to be over. And once the door of mercy is shut, like the 10 virgins and 5 were foolish, 5 was wise. And when the bridegroom came and he found the 5 that were wise and had their lamps trimmed and burning with oil, and they went in with the bridegroom, praise the Lord, and the door was shut. Praise the Lord, and the others came and knocking, and it was too late. Don't let it be too late for you, my friend. Once Jesus comes back, it's all over, praise God. And you might as well obtain mercy while you can. And then, like Brother Yearwood said, and mercy endureth forever. Once you receive, praise God, that mercy, that once you ask Jesus to come into your heart and repent of your sins, you get a crown, praise the Lord. And only you can keep that crown of life. Praise God. That's a reward that you would get, praise the Lord, when you come and Jesus shows mercy on you for all the wickedness, for all the evil that you've done, that I have done before I got saved. But you know, the sins that I had done before I got saved is no more remembered, praise God. And all Jesus sees now is the blood, praise the Lord, that I asked him to apply over this heart of mine, the doorpost of my heart. You know, he knocked one day and I had to let him come in. And that's what you got to do is he standeth at a door and he knocks. Praise the Lord. If you let him in and open the door, he'll come in and sup with you and he with him and you with him and he with you. Praise God. God is good. God is good. Surely in goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Praise God. If I keep myself under subjection to the master that Brother Randy was singing about, hallelujah, I'm going to obtain life forever, eternal life. That is the gift from God. We told you a while ago that wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's the only way in. There's not many ways in. There's only one door, and that's Jesus. Praise God. And I'm going to turn it to Brother Green right now. Praise the Lord.
Praise God. It's good to be with you. I'm glad to be here and on the winning side tonight. I've been fighting a battle. Seems like I've been under attack. I don't know what's going on. We got a new couch today, and I kind of think might be something there aggravating me. But I tell you, God is on the throne tonight, and his mercy endureth forever. He never fails. He's always on time. You know, many times, you know, people needed the mercy of God, and they called upon him. And, you know, he answered, and he was there, and he came just in time. I want to read here. It says, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. You know, he is faithful to us, and if we will make him our Lord, if we will get Jesus on our side, and we will repent and come clean with him, I tell you, there's nothing that he won't do for us. He said that he would meet our needs and according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So we know tonight that what things soever we ask in faith, believing, we're going to receive. And I tell you, a lot of times mercy comes because of faith and because we hold on to God and we believe God. And because of that, he sends his mercy. Now I want to read something here. It says, I looked it up in a dictionary. A mercy, it says the disposition to forgive, spare, or pity. Clemency, forbearance, compassion. So we see here that mercy is a disposition to forgive. And like Joanna was saying, we have to forgive one another. And first of all, we need to be forgiven from the Lord himself. And we need to come down humble before God and humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. And it says, forgive, spare, or pity. You know, the Lord pitied Job when Job was going through what he was going through. The Lord pitied Job, and the Lord had mercy on Job. And there at the end of the book of Job, we find out that God turned his captivity around, and he gave him twice as much in the end that he had in the beginning. And Job was a righteous man, and the Bible tells us also that he was a patient man. It said, consider the patience of Job. You know, Job could have quit in the middle of his battle. He could have said, well, God's not going to move for me. And, you know, it's not going to come out good, that I'm going to be destroyed. But, you know, when his wife came to him and said, curse God and die, he said, you speak like the foolish women. He was willing to suffer for righteousness' sake, and he didn't know why he was suffering, but he was suffering because, you know, God was proving Job. And, you know, we're going to be proved in this world. The Bible says, take it not strange, a fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing has happened unto you. We don't know sometimes why we're going through trials, and we don't know why we're being buffeted and we're being under attack, and all these things are happening. And but we must remember, like Brother Yearwood was talking about, the tender mercies of God. We must remember that God is a merciful God, and he is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish. He's putting up with stuff down here that a lot of people look around and they say, why is God not moving? Why don't he just throw the devil in that lake of fire? And why don't he just clean this place up? And, you know, most of the people that's saying that are sinner people. And if God came down and he cleaned this place up, most of them would be lost. Most of them would end up in the lake of fire because they're fighting against God. But I tell you, we need not to fight against God, but we need to get God on our side. And we also need to get on the Lord's side. As I believe it was Joshua or Moses, one of them said, who is on the Lord's side? And they came over on the side of, I believe it was Moses. And Joshua said, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Now, I tell you, that's where my mind is tonight. No matter what comes my way, no matter what I may have to go through in this life, I know that this life is just a dressing room, and I'm getting ready to go. I'm not here to stay, but I'm going to inherit the things of God. And the Bible said they're going to be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. They're not going to be any unclean thing be able to go into that New Jerusalem, into that place where we're going to go at the end of this journey. Praise God. I'm trying to get here. I was thinking about Jonah. You know, Jonah, God told Jonah, he said, go down, Jonah. He said, go down to Nineveh. And he said, preach to them people. And you know why God sent Jonah down to Nineveh was because of the mercy of God. Because God wanted them people to repent, turn to him. Now, I'll tell you, there's a lot of people God's having mercy on, and the long-suffering of God is awaiting, just like he waited in the days of Noah. He waited. But he said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, yet his days shall be 120 years. So God was going to give them a space of time to repent and get right with him. And I tell you tonight, if you're out there listening, you're not right with God. God's given you a space of time to repent. But one day that space of time is going to run out. One day you think, you know, you're getting by. You think, you know, God spared me here and there. And, you know, he's been good to me. Well, he's been good to you because he's not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. Jesus said to him one day, except you repent. And he was talking to religious people. He was talking to people that knew the law and people that were supposed to be living right, that had the word of God. And he said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And I tell you tonight, God's not going to let anybody into heaven that's not repented of their sins and called on Jesus. There's Amen. One door to salvation. There's one door to mercy. And I tell you, Jesus, he is that mercy door. He's that door of grace that we must come in. The Bible said the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. I'll tell you tonight, friend, I don't want to see you lost. I want you to make it. I want to go to heaven, and I want to see you over there, and I want to hear you say, well, I heard you and Brother Yearwood and different ones, Brother Samples on the radio, and I repented of my sin. I heard Sister Joanna, and she said something that touched my heart, or Sister Gladys, or praise God, or one of those that's been coming on with us. Praise God. And I'll tell you, I don't want to see nobody lost. I'll tell you, our heart has got to be with the things of God. We must love one another and have compassion. Just like Joanna was saying, I can't hold nothing against nobody. You know, I was a sinner myself, and I needed grace, and I needed mercy. And I came to the Lord for mercy and grace, and I repented of my sins, and he pardoned my sin, and he paid that price, the pardon for my iniquity and my sins and transgressions and all the bad things that I had ever done. Jesus took that in his body on the tree and carried our sins to the cross and paid the debt that we could never pay. And he sent Jonah, I was preaching on Jonah down there. He said, Jonah, go down to Nineveh. And he said, tell them to repent. He said, 40 days, I'm going to overthrow that city. Praise God. And, you know, Jonah ran from the presence of God, and he hid. And he got in that boat, praise God. And he went down to Tarshish, I believe it was. And he went down there, and he got in that boat, and he hid in that boat, and he fell asleep in that boat. And you know, the wind began to blow, and the rain, and you know, the waves began to roar. And those people that had that boat, they began to cast the things they had over the bow of that boat, and over the side of that boat. Praise God. It said in Then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee that thou the sea may be calm unto us? You see, Jonah had told them that he was the reason that this evil had come upon them, and he was running from God. And, you know, and he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is come. Is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth. They cast him into the sea. And God had prepared a great fish and swallowed Jonah. And Jonah was in a bad shape. But, you know, he began to call upon the Lord. The Bible said, he said that out of the belly of hell I cried I, praise God. And Jesus said to them one day, said as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be, you know, in the heart of the earth. I'll tell you, Jesus died for our sins, went down there to the heart of this earth, in the midst of this earth, and he went down and preached to them that were in prison, the Bible said over there, and I think it's 1 Peter, 2 Peter. He preached to them, praise God, but he wasn't preaching repentance, my friend. It was too late. It'll be too late once you end up in the graveyard, once you breathe your last breath. I don't think you can call upon God and get salvation at that point when you turned him down. All the time that you had life and you walked around and you heard the message of salvation and you heard the preachers preaching and you turned it aside and turned it aside. But you know what, Jonah, he got out of that whale's belly one day. That whale spit him out on the dry ground. Praise God. And he went into that great city, Nineveh. And the Bible said he went in a day's journey. And he began to preach in that city. And he began to tell them to repent for 40 days. God was going to overthrow Nineveh. And I'll tell you, it was the mercy of God that sent him down there. It's the mercy of God that's got these pastors all across the world preaching to people and getting up on Sunday morning early when they could lay in the bed and take them an extra nap. And they're going here and there, traveling across the country and preaching, and they're hazarding their lives. Many of the missionaries are hazarding their lives for the cause of the gospel. And I tell you, there ain't but one way to get to heaven, and that's Jesus. And that's through that name of Jesus. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby that we must be saved. It's only through that name, because he's the only begotten of the Father. The Bible said, full of grace and truth. Praise God. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth. We're under a greater grace today than men has ever been under in all the history of time, I do believe. That once Jesus came to that cross, the Bible tells us there in the book of Hebrews that we're under a better covenant. There's better things for us. Than they was in the Old Testament. We've got access to God today like we never had before. They could not go into the holies of holies at that time. But you know, today we can be holy, for God is holy, and we can go into that holy place, and that holy place is Jesus. He's the only place there's refuge from the storm. He's the only rock in a weary land. Praise God. He is the answer today, and in him is mercy. In him is grace. Praise God. And Jonah went on down there into Nineveh, and he began to preach. Praise God. It says here in Jonah 3:3, so Jonah rose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. The Bible said he entered into it a day's journey. And that sounds to me like then he began to preach. When he got pretty much in the heart of that city, he began to let them know why he was there. And he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh. And he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. Praise God. Here was a king. He got down and he got humble before God, you know. And he told them to repent. Praise God. He said, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. You know, I begin to think about this. He not only told them to repent, he not only told them to, he called a fast and he said, don't you even drink no water. Don't you eat no food. And don't you feed your cattle and don't you give them no drink. And now I bet them cattle began to carry on. Them horses and whatever that was, I was beginning to cry out. But I'll tell you something. It got the attention of God. And that king said, who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn from his fierce anger that we perish not? And verse 10 of chapter 3, the Bible says, and God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. You know what? God had mercy. God looked down on that city and God had mercy. And you know, in chapter 4, the Bible said that Jonah got angry. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry, the Bible said. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. So God repented of that evil that he was going to do. He was going to come down there and he was going to clean that place out. You know, we know the story about how that Lot, you know, was down there in Sodom and the sin got so bad. I tell you, if you want to turn God off, if you want to get on the backside of God and you want to get on the mean side of God, but he don't actually have a mean side, but he's a God of love and he's a God of wrath. And I tell you, sin is something God cannot stand. And I tell you, if we go around with our chest out and our head held high and we're sinning against God, I'm telling you, God one day is going to get tired of that. Those people that have taken the name of the Lord in vain, and they'll come out with big old curse words in front of other people, and they'll do things that's ungodly, and they'll flirt with the girls and tell them everything to try to seduce them and take them captive, and they're wicked men, wicked and evil. A lot of them are. Praise God. And I tell you, God, I tell you, down here in chapter 4, and verse, I believe it is 10, then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for which thou hast not labored, neither made it to grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And if you know the story of Jonah, you know how he sat up on a hill and he watched to see what would happen to Nineveh. And it was hot, and the gourd grew up over him and gave him a shade. And then the Lord prepared a worm, and the worm ate killed the gourd. You know what a gourd is? Well, that's a vine, praise God, a big vine. And I guess he had something that was growing on there, and he was under that shade. He was watching to see what the Lord would do with the city. And God said, which came up in a night and perished in a night, and should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle. I'll tell you, God was going to wipe that place out. If they had not repented, they would have received no mercy. They would have received no grace. And I'll tell you tonight, if you're under the sound of my voice, I'll tell you, and you're a sinner, and you're not saved, and you're doing things that you shouldn't be doing, I tell you, you're running out of grace. You're running out of mercy. I'll tell you, God's long-suffering, not willing that any would be, cast into that lake of fire, that they'd die lost. But one thing's for sure, he's commanded all men to repent everywhere. He's not looking down now and having mercy on a lot of things that he used to have mercy on, because we're now coming down to the end of the road and times are winding up, and we've got pastors and evangelists and preachers, and they're preaching all over the world, and they're trying to get men and women to turn from their wicked ways, trying to get them to accept Christ, the door of salvation, trying to get them to enter in to that good way where they'll have eternal life. Praise God. And I got some more scripture, and I was thinking about, I mentioned it, Lot, you know, the angels came one day in the book of Genesis, and I believe it's the 18th chapter, and trying to get over there to it now, in the 18th and 19th chapter. Praise God. It says here, and there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face to the ground. And he said, behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early, and go on your ways. And they said, nay, but we will abide in the street all night, and he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house, and he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. This was Lot, and you know the story of Lot and how he was with Abraham, and his herds got so big, and they got to complaining, and Lot went and pitched his tent, the Bible said, towards Sodom. And you know, there was some people came to Abraham. It said, and the Lord appeared unto him in the 18th chapter here in verse 1 in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him, and when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, and bowed himself toward the ground, and said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. And he went on and fed him. But you know, before they left, they said, we're going down to Sodom. We're going down there. Praise God. And in verse 20, and the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me. And if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. You see, Abraham found out that they was going to destroy Sodom, and he began to intercede. There's a lot of people out there tonight that's got mercy on their life only because somebody that's a living right is interceding for you, and they're calling on God, and they're asking the Lord to save you and bring you out of your sin and bring you into this good way. And I'm going to turn it back over to Sister Joanna now.
Hallelujah. Enjoyed that preaching. Praise God. Everybody is on a roll tonight, on fire. Praise the Lord. And thank God for his mercy. I want to turn in this other prayer request just come through a little while ago. Ann Higginbotham says, my daughter has lupus as well as MS. Please keep her in your thoughts and prayers. So, Brother John, do you have any prayer requests tonight? Brother John? Brother Yearwood, do you have any prayer requests?
Yeah, I want everybody to remember my first cousin, Boyd Yearwood's family. He passed away last night about 6:30. So I don't know none of the arrangements on it there yet. But anyway, just remember that family. That he got a bunch of kids, and everyone, as far as I know, is lost. He's got a bunch of brothers and sisters, and they're all lost. There may be one or two out of the family that goes to church.
Amen. Pastor John, are you on? Let's remember his church and remember all his the loved ones there, and let's just go to the Lord with in prayer. Praise the Lord.
Remember the revival too.
Ask
in the name of Jesus, Father,
that you touch all these
the blood
prayer requests,
of the Lamb, Lord,
Lord
home,
touch these people,
all these loved ones,
all
these
loved ones. Right now, Lord,
touch
every request, Father, Lord, everyone, God, Lord, the needs, God, you know what their needs are. Father, we ask, Lord, that you just, God, that you will stir the hearts, and Lord God, we ask, Father, Lord, that you will just save them, God, lost, sanctified by the Holy Ghost. God, we ask, Father, touch them, God, lost their love, and Father, meet their needs, God, and Lord, family, comfort, and peace, God. Give you the praise, Lord, and the honor, Father.
Give you, Lord, them that need salvation, Lord, that they need saved, God, all across the globe, dear God.
Praise you to help them, Lord, to come with this situation, Lord, and realize that they need for their soul, that they need to bring forth fruits, meet the repentance, that they need to get their self right with you, God, that the Spirit of God move upon them. And the power of God convict them, Lord, we pray. Move around the globe, Lord, we pray. Into foreign countries and places where people are tonight, Lord, and touch their hearts and souls. And Help people respond to the call of the gospel, Lord, to repent and humble themselves under the mighty hand of the Lord. Call upon your name, Lord, in the name of Jesus.
Praise God. You want to be in revival with us, with Brother Yearwood. We're in revival with him, I should say, at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. And that is, you go to www.blogtalkradio.com/reachingtheworldforchrist. And that's at 6 p.m. Eastern all the way through Tuesday night. Praise God. And we've got, we have 20 seconds, so we'll go ahead and tell everyone good night and thank you all for calling in and appreciate each and every one of you.
Good night.
God bless.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.